me to your side. And as I wait, arise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where would we be without the Lord? Wouldn't even know the boys from the girls. As Mike said out of the mouth of babes, that I never thought I'd live to see the day that you'd have to actually make the distinction. You know, years ago, they were saying boys act like boys because they've been taught to act that way at a very early age, and girls act like girls because they've been taught to act that way. But obviously the people that make those statements, they don't have grandkids, probably don't even have kids, because they're a boy's hardly a year old and he's going vroom vroom. And girls trying to play with dolls. There's a whole different spirit there. And I never thought I'd live to see the day when you just have to stand for something that's just so fundamentally obvious. But stand we will. And you know, it's in one sense, it's actually complimentary, because everything that's true will be manifested in the true church, in the true bride. God's thoughts on everything, you'll see it in the body that's here on the earth. What a family is, what a boy is, what a girl is, how we conduct ourselves, what our purpose is, why we're here. So it's a privilege. You have an opportunity in your life to be a written epistle read of all men. God's thoughts expressed. Amen. Well, we're back for round two here tonight. How many enjoyed the service this morning? It was wonderful. I believe it was very, very timely, and we so appreciate it. But tonight we're back for another portion. We believe that God has what we need, and we don't even know what we're going to face this week. You know, we might have some inklings. You know, Brother Joel's going to travel, and we're praying for safe and uneventful travel. Uneventful, that's a good word, isn't it? Uneventful travel. But as far as, he knows he's going to travel, but what else is going to happen this week? We don't know. But he knows. He knows your future. And so we're here tonight to, if we come to get patched up, well, let's come to get patched up. But I'd rather have the Lord go before me. I'd rather have his word go before me to prepare the way before me. So that's one of the reasons why we're here tonight. And we just want the Lord to have his way once again. So without further comment, we'd like our brother Brother David to make his way up and deliver what the Lord has put on his heart. And he asks that we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. He told me, do you know I have decided to follow Jesus? And I said, you did? Good, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I think that's too high. Yeah, that's too low. There we go. No, that's too low too. I guess I got a funny voice. There we go. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I won't turn back. No turning back. Amen. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, follow, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. The cross before me and the world behind me. The cross before me and the world behind me. I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. I have decided. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. As they're playing that softly, I like to read you a story, how that song got started. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but read this story. It said in 1904, a revival swept across Wales. God made himself known in a very special and personal way. After the revival, a Welsh man ventured halfway across the world to India. He tracked up a mountain to a remote village in the east. He was told to go back. The tribe in that village was famously violent. He ignored the warnings because even though savage headhunters should have an opportunity to know about the mercy of God. One tribesman and his family heard the gospel and received Jesus as their Savior. This good news was too good to keep to themselves. They shared the gospel with others in their tribe. The chief was very angry, and he had the tribesman and his family dragged before the village. "Stop following Jesus," the chief demanded. The tribesman replied, "No, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back." The chief was furious, and he killed the tribesman's children. "Stop following Jesus," the chief insisted. The tribesman replied, "Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back." The chief showed no mercy, and he killed the tribesman's wife. "Now you will stop following this Jesus," the chief said. The tribesman looked the chief in the eyes. "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." The chief could not believe his ears, and he killed the tribesman. Jesus said, "If a grain of wheat dies, it bears much fruit." And that day, many of the people in that village who witnessed the persecution of that tribesman and his family decided to follow Jesus. Even the chief himself decided to follow Jesus. The tribesman's last words became a song in that village, and today it's a song around the world. "I have decided to follow Jesus." Amen. Let's sing it. Amen. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have decided to follow Jesus. Back, no turning back. Cross before me, the world behind me. Yes, behind me. Before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Amen. I'll give him glory in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You feel good this afternoon? Amen. I'm trusting that everybody feels well. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's all. We appreciate the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Just take off my coat. Amen. You can't work in a coat. Amen. Amen. Brother Doug told me there was a hook here, so I like them hooks. Amen. We appreciate the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Just before we read the scripture and get started, I just say I appreciate Brother Doug having us out. Amen. You know, so we appreciate that. Just real good to be able to come by and visit with each and every one. I ain't seen each and every one in a long time. It's like Doug said, it's been a couple years, and we was going to plan on coming out, like I said, last year, but, you know, things, you know, change. And like you said, you never know what is going to happen from day to day. But we just know that everything's under control. And, you know, good to see our brother Micah back with us tonight and his wife, and just hope that she's feeling better. Amen. Just we appreciate the Lord. Amen. We just appreciate his goodness and his mercy to us. And my, just we just appreciate everything that God's done for us. Amen. And we just want to say thank you. Appreciate you. Just keep us in your prayers. Amen. We'd be up at Brother Bryant Duffick's on Wednesday night, then up in the Camp Verde area Friday night, then up to Flagstaff with Brother Dale Smith on the weekend. So you just keep us in your prayers, and that God will just be with us. And amen. We just want to just do what the God wants us to do. And we just want to, you know, like a Brother Doug was reading me a testimony that somebody had shared with him about the service this morning. I thought, God, I'm just a nobody, but God, I thank you that you spoke to somebody. Amen. So I just appreciate that, you know, that when God, he has everything under control. Amen. So we just appreciate that, and just trusting that God would speak to us once again tonight. Amen. Through his word. Amen. Because I'm just a spare tire, and just, but somebody said, well, you know, a car ain't no good without a good spare tire. So, you know, so you just pray for us. Amen. And we just try to do what God wants us to do and stay true to this word. Amen. Stay true to the message of the hour. And if we don't see each other never again, we'll see you over yonder. Will we be sitting around that table thousands of miles long? Like Brother Brown described it on that film, Deep Caught the Deep, and the king come out, take his finger, and wipe the tears from her eyes, say, don't cry no more. It's all over. Enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Oh, that's the time I'm looking for. Amen. Just to get over there and hear him say, well done, well done. Amen. That's what I'm looking forward to. Amen. So if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. We want to look at something tonight, and you may kind of be odd title that we got to this, but we just want the Lord to, like I said, have his way. And like I said, you just be with, pray for us, pull from the gift. Amen. And you just pray, say, God, you just speak through Brother Dave in heaven, speak to me. Amen. Maybe something that, you know, we just don't know, you know, like Brother Doug said, that was timely this morning. We just prayed before we left the house, and God laid a couple of thoughts in our heart, and you just, you know, just trying to go with what God has, you know. And sometimes he's changed it before we even walked out them doors or something, you know, but we know that God, he has everything. You know, he's a good orchestrator. I can never orchestrate like he could, but he knows how to do it. Remember when, God spoke to Abraham, said, your seed shall sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, then I'll bring them out with a mighty hand. Well, they even wasn't in that strange land. Then Joseph rose up, and, you know, he was kind of, you know, he knew he was a, you know, dreamer, knew God, you know, and had dreams, and God, you know, used him, but he kind of went about it the wrong way, ended up over there, you know, in Pharaoh's house, you know, in the palace, and what happened to him and everything. He got thrown in a dungeon, and, you know, the baker and the butler, and they had them two dreams and interpreted them, and all of a sudden, you know, there was a famine in the land, and God just knew how to orchestrate everything. So he get his children over there, and then there rose up a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And just God just, you know, he just knows how to do it. Amen. He just knows how to do it. If you have a need tonight, let's just, amen, how many's got a need? Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, once again we come to you tonight, Lord. realizing, Father, that you're still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. And we just appreciate you, Lord, knowing who you are, Lord. And, Lord, the reality of serving you, Father. Lord, I know that sometimes we go through many things and trials and heartaches, Lord. But, Lord, it'll be worth it all when we get over there, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, that's the day we're looking for, Father. But until then, Lord, we got to keep on pressing, keep on pushing, and keep on praying and keep on seeking your face, oh God. Now I just pray, oh God, that you just help us tonight, Lord. You saw the hands, Lord. You know what was behind each and every hand before it was raised, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just speak to the hearts of your children once again tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, just may I be a yielded vessel for you, Lord Jesus, that you'd use me, Lord. Father, I give myself away, Lord, so you can use me, Lord Jesus. Just speak to our hearts and help us, oh God, and may we receive something from your word tonight, Lord. May your children pull from your gift tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, and may they receive, Lord, those things that they have need of, Father. Lord, may I refrain from those things that you wouldn't want me to say, but just say those things that you would want me to say, Father. Lord, and we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs, the 28th chapter and the first verse. And it reads like this: the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to speak upon a little thought tonight. You've been dared.
Yes.
I don't know, when I was growing up, I've always, you know, people, you know, especially in boys, you know, they like to, you know, king on the mountain and stuff like that. And, yeah, you know, and I dare you. Right. And that wasn't too bad. But when they double dog dare you, that was real bad. And you just had to prove that you could do what they dared you not to or dared you to do.
Right.
But you've been dared tonight. Amen. And I'd like to read you something out of Leviticus if I can. And we'll just go and you just pray for us. Amen. Leviticus, the 26th chapter and the 14th verse, says it like this: but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments. Now he wants us to listen to him. And he's telling, you know, Leviticus, you know, the Levitical law, and Moses was the lawgiver, and he was just trying to help his people. And he told him, said, if you will not hearken unto me, the Lord speaketh through him, and will not do all these commandments. Then verse 15 says, and if you shall despise my statutes or spurn my statue, or if your soul despises or rejects my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant. He's telling them what he's going to do now in the 16th verse. He said, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you sudden terror, consumption, trembling, trouble, and the burning ague, which is really what it was, is malaria or some other illness involving fever or shivering. He said, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Can you imagine? Just because they would not follow the Lord and hearken to his voice, these things were going to be brought about upon them. How important it is to follow the voice of God. How important it is to follow what the Lord has laid out for us in this age that we're living in. How important it is to do all that God has commanded us to do. Verse 17, and he says, and I will set my face against you. Man, can you imagine? He said he'd set his face against us, and you shall be slain or defeated before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. Can you imagine? You shall flee when none pursueth you. If you want to look at it real quick, didn't give these my brother the scriptures, but Proverbs, the first chapter and the 22nd verse, it says, how long, you simple ones, Will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. Can you imagine God calling us and says, and you have refused? He says, and ye refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. Can you imagine? Set at naught all his counsel. We just took it for granted. There's a certain brother. Years ago, he became a pastor. And he got a couple. I can't remember the whole story. He got the couple together or whatever it was, or maybe just a family. And he showed them by the scripture and by the message of the hour what they were supposed to do, and told them what they should do by the message of the hour and by the scripture. But you know what? They turned around and did opposite of what he said. What the scripture, what the message had said. He called Brother Holman and told him, said, guess what? He said, I counseled these people. He said, I told them what the scripture said. I showed them what the message said. And they turned around and did the opposite. Brother Holman said, welcome to pastoring, son. Because there's people that said it not at God's counsel. They don't want to take God's word. No matter if you show them what the scripture said, if you show them what the prophet said, they still don't want to take it. Can you imagine? But you know what? I'm going to speak against it because it shouldn't matter. If God said that it's wrong and the prophet said it's wrong, then I believe it's still wrong today. And people shouldn't say anything about it because a lot of people put their stuff on Facebook. So they shouldn't worry if I have to come against it or not, because they shouldn't mind, because they put what they do on Facebook. So I think it's all right. If they're going to put it on Facebook, then I'm going to come against it. I tell you what, like they said, hey man, it's a shame that we have to wonder about our society today and the agenda they're doing. How that the what used to be right is wrong, and what used to be wrong is right. Amen. I was telling Brother Doug the other day how old Biden, and I ain't trying to preach politics or anything, but what he set up for his health assistant. I thought, my Lord, if I was to die, if I was dying and had to go to that person, I'd rather die. Yes, sir. Amen. So it's bum terrible. I know me and my wife was talking about, and they want to change the way you talk. Hey, it took me almost 60 years, or almost 61 years, I'll be 61, to learn how to talk. And now they want to change it. They don't want you to call them babies anymore, but what'd you say? They babies or something like that? Because they say that they can wait till they're about three or four and make up their mind whether they want to be a girl or a boy. I think that's a bunch of stuff. That's a bunch of rotten stuff from the pits of hell. Amen. And we ought to stand against it. Amen. We ought to be a bold as a lion. Amen. To stand against such stuff. Amen. Me and my wife were sitting in a restaurant a few years ago. And they was going to give this guy an award. I say guy. They call him Caitlyn Jenner. But his real name is Bruce Jenner. Because I don't care what he is, what he thinks he is, he'll have to face God as a man. And they wanted to give him an award for bravery. I told my wife, if I had a hammer, I wanted to throw it through that television set. But can you imagine, he can't sassy it out there. And now they want to put homosexuals in the army. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't want to be in a trench or in a ditch with a homosexual. If somebody's going to get shot, they are. God help us. But we need to be dear. Hey man, I believe we need to stand upon God's word. Amen. Amen. He said, you won't regard my counsel. You said, no, with none of my reproof. And he said, I also will laugh at your calamity. Can you imagine God laughing at our calamity? Amen. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. He said, he's going to send them fear because they wouldn't listen to his word. They wouldn't take heed to his counsel. And he's going to mock and laugh when their fear cometh. Oh my. He said, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, that despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. Oh, can you imagine? He said, I'll turn you at your reproof because you didn't listen to me. Now drop down there in the same chapter, Leviticus 36 verse. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness. Amen. I will send dejection or lack of courage. Amen. Into their hearts, in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen something that was scared of their shadow? Several years back, I ain't going to tell you where I was, but I stayed in this house. My wife didn't go with me. And I was by myself. And it used to be a working plantation years ago. And I thought, man, I looked at it from the outside, and it looked nice from the outside. And the brother and I was all right. As long as that brother was with me. We sat on the porch and we talked a little bit. He said, hey, brother, let me go buy you some supper before I go and you could get some rest and study. I said, all right. So we went and he bought my supper. And so we went back to the house. He said, well, Brother David, I got to go. And it got dark. And I got scared. I'll be honest with you. Every noise, brother, I couldn't even sleep that night. Every noise, I said, man. So you know what I did? I got up, I got dressed, and I went down to IHOP, and I sat there for I don't know how long drinking some coffee and studying. And then I thought, my, this is crazy. But I said, man, my wife ain't with me. I don't know. I said, I'm scared to go back to that house. So I went back, drove back, sat out there in the car, looked up at that big old house, and it looked like everything, something was moving inside. And I just sat out in my car and kicked my seat back a little bit. Finally, when it started getting daylight, I went back in the house and took a shower and got dressed, got ready for church. Wow. But a shaking leaf shall chase them. I thought, my daughter said, Dad, I'd like to see you and Brother Jewel there by yourselves. Said, y'all probably shoot one another. Amen. I thought, well, I don't know about that, but you know. He said, but a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as a fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. Now look with me in Psalms, the 53rd chapter, the 5th verse. He said, there were they in great fear, terror and dread, where no terror and dread was, for God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God has despised or rejected them. Then we read there in our scripture, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth them, but the righteous are uncompromising, are as bold as a lion. And that's what I want to be, as bold as a lion. Now in this word, in this thought that we got, you've been dared. I was thinking about our forefathers. I think about the ones that founded this great America that we live in. though we're kind of ashamed of the way she's been going here lately. But the prophet of God said, if I'm an American, if I'm a real American, I'm identified in her shame and in her glory. If I'm a real American. And I was thinking about our forefathers, the ones that came across here like the pilgrims that fled because they wanted freedom of religion to come over here. How they dared to step out on what they believed, principles that were right. Though all the odds were against him, they dared to step out on what they thought was right to make America what she was. And even in the word daring, it means to dare, be bold, to have courage, audacity for some act, be fearless. That's what I want to be tonight. Amen. When all the odds were against him, they dared to step out. When it seemed like everything, I think about George Washington, our first president of the United States, and how the prophet of God said there were men that were Christians, that were men that stood upon principles. Right. No matter what the odds were, they dared to step out upon what they knew that was right and stood for what was right. Amen. When George Washington, before he crossed the Delaware, got down and prayed till they were covered in snow waist deep. But he dared to take God at his word. I think about another man by the name of Patrick Henry that he said in this statement, give me liberty or give me death. Amen, because he dared to step out on what he knew was right. I think about Abraham Lincoln. And it was noted that Abraham Lincoln said this, America will never be destroyed from the outside. Right. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Right. I thought, what a statement to make. And he dared to believe, yeah. Amen, what he thought was right. Right. Amen. Even when the prophet of God said he hit his fist, he said when he saw slavery and all that, he said, that's not right. If it costs me my life, I will tend to it. Yeah. Right. I thought, my, because he dared to step out for what was right. Amen. I think about Stonewall Jackson. Amen. When they asked Stonewall one time, and Brother Bram said he was a humble man. Yeah. He said, how do you stand all this opposition with just so few of the men? Said he kicked his boot across the dirt ground. And he said, I never put a cup of water to my lips without me thanking God for it. Right. I thought, my, what a statement. Amen. What a statement. And then his last words before he died, he said, it's soon come time for me to cross the river, but I'll be able to rest under the shade of the tree. I thought, my. But he stood out and believed what was right and stood for principles. We could go on and on about our founding fathers. I think there was 12 of them. They called John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and many of them that were our founding fathers that stood for principles when the odds were against him. Even the ones that signed the Declaration of Independence, many of them, amen, that knew after they had signed it that it may cost them their death, but they signed it anyway. And we could go on and on and on. But I begin to think about, what about in the Bible? There's men like Noah that when everything was evil, and the Bible says that even God repented of himself that he made men. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And against all odds, when people were against him, looked like the whole world was against him. When they could say, when he said, because you found favor, I want you to build a boat for the saving of your household. Amen. Amen. He built that boat and it was in so much dimensions, so many feet long, so many feet high, so many feet wide, for 8 souls, him and his family. But God knew there was just going to be 8. Amen. But he said, you go out there and you warn them people. Now, I've seen a little film about the ark and all that, and about Noah. And in this film, it portrayed Noah. And I don't know if it's right or not, you know, and the scripture don't say. And he could have had a brother. And his brother came to him and said, Noah, why are you doing this? And Noah began to talk to his brother, say, hey, listen, me and you are brothers. And we were raised in a religious home. We were raised to be taught about God. And talk about the and be taught about the principles of God. And stand for what we, our convictions are. And stand for what we believe. And said, God spoke to me. And his brother said, do you really think, Noah, that God spoke to you? He said, I believe he really spoke to me. And he told me to build this ark. Brother Branham said it like this. There might have been many people trying to build arks and boats in that day. But there was only one that was God constructed. Amen. Amen. There's no other way to make it into heaven but by the way of Christ tonight. And by his word that he's presented to us in this hour. All people may try to make all kinds of ways to do this and do this, but there's only one way that God has provided for us. Amen. Amen. And so when the time come, when Noah went in the ark, and everybody was looking at him, and God shut the door. And can you imagine when they begin to beat on the door and said, Noah, let us in. And his brother on the outside, but he couldn't open the door. Because it was too late. I thought, God, against all odds, because Brother Branham said it was a scientific age where they could shoot up there in the stars and the moon and say, Noah, listen, there's no rain up there. What are you talking about? All I know is God said so. I can't explain it. I don't know how it's going to be. All I know is God said so. And he dared to step out on God's word and believe what God said. And because of that, he saved his family. I think about Abraham. Amen. When he first was called Abram. Oh my. Who dared just to take God at his word. Who dared just to take God and believe what God said. When he told him, he said, look in the sky. Can you count the stars? Can you count the grains of sand? So that's how much you're going to have your seeds going to be. Called, change his name from Abram to Abraham. We all know what Brother Brown said, all that. He's the father of our faith. Amen. And can you imagine when he began, you know, the prophet of God said it like this. He began to, and his wife, Sarah, began to make the little booties and the diapers and everything. And can you imagine people come by and say, hey, Abraham, what's going on? Why are you doing this? He said, we're going to have a baby. Yeah. And can you imagine they look at him and say, you, and how old are you? I don't care how old I am. All I know is God said so. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he dared to step out on God's word and take God at his word and believe what God said.
Amen.
Amen. It's like this. The next day he asked Sarah, said, Sarah, how do you feel? I don't feel any different. Praise God, we're going to have it anyway.
Amen.
And what I like about this word, amen, in the scriptures, that these men that were wrote of in this word were men and women just like me and you are. They had their mistakes. They had their troubles. They had their trials. But they dared to step out on what they believed was right and stood for what was right, amen, and defied what was wrong. Amen. And I imagine Abraham, he was made fun of. The prophet of God said, talking about Noah, he probably got some rotten tomatoes thrown at him. I made it Abraham. He probably did that the same way too. Maybe got some rotten tomatoes. But all I know is he said, God said so. I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is God said we're going to have a baby. And I believe God's word.
Amen.
And over there in the book of Romans, when Paul wrote up his commentary. Amen. And like I said, he was just a human being like me and you are. Amen. But when Paul wrote up his commentary, he said he staggered not at the unbelief, but was faithful, giving praise to the one that made the promise. Count those things that were not as though they are. Amen. And that's what we got to do tonight. Count those things that are not as though they are.
Amen.
Amen. And he just dared to believe God's word.
Yes,
I think about Moses. Amen. You know how we could go back and rehearse the scriptures. But I think about the Ten Commandments. Has anybody ever seen that?
You remember when it was challenged and how that he got some accusations coming against him. Amen. And how Pharaoh, every time there was an accusation, he put in a little bread, this and this, and the balances was weighed over here. You know? Open up the temple granary. Yes, I did. Balance. You know, and all that. But he picked up a brick and said, slaves need to eat. Said, slaves build cities, but dead people, dead slaves don't make nothing. He put that brick in. That balances went the other way. Why? Because he dared to stay with what he thought was right. Right. Amen. Amen. And then, when it come time for him to lead the children to Israel, he just dared to take God at his word. Amen. He talk about Elijah. Amen. How did he dare to just take God at his word? Amen. And when they made fun of him, amen. And he said, he called them to the scene. He called all them prophets to Mount Carmel. And he said, listen here. He said, call on your gods. I'll get an opportunity for you to call on your gods. You go ahead. And they begin to cry. I think it was from morning to noon. He said, cry a little louder. Right. Maybe your God's gone. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he's pursuing. But after he got done with it, he just said, God, he dared to step out on God's word and said, I did this at your command, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, we could call more and more. But here's what it said in Hebrews 11th chapter and the 32nd verse. It said it like this. Who? He said, and what shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jabez, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent and turned to flight, the armies of the enemies. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others have had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They're waiting on us tonight. Amen. And I imagine if they could look over the portals of heaven tonight, they would say, come on, Brother Doug, preach it. Come on, you can make it. They would be looking over there to say, come on, young people, you can make it. Amen. If we went before you, paving the way, amen, and we dared to step out on God's word, amen, to blaze the trail for you. And if we overcame, you can overcome too. And they're cheering us on. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Even so, for they without us are not made perfect. Amen. Oh, and we could go on and on. But I think about men of our day. When they were like Moody, he said it like this. Is this death? This is not death. This is my coronation day. Hallelujah. This is my going home time. Amen. I think about Martin Luther. Amen. That dared to step out and tack his 95 theses to the Roman Catholic Church. Amen. Because he'd seen something in God's word that the just shall live by faith, and he stood out upon God's word. Amen. And he dared to believe what was right. Amen. I think about Wesley. Amen. Because he knew, said, hey, I believe in faith. Hey, I'm just, he said, I believe in the just shall live by faith, but there's more to it than that. I believe there's got to be a sanctified life. And he dared to step out on what he believed, and he preached sanctification. Now, something, the way some of the Methodists would do now, they would turn over in the grave. This John Wesley would turn over in their grave to see the way they do now. Like my, I said, talking about my wife this morning, working at this daycare. It was in a Methodist church, and it became associated and affiliated with the Methodist church. And before she quit that job, you know what they started having on Monday nights at this local pub in the city? Jesus and beer. That's how they advertise it. I thought my Lord, John Wesley, would roll over in his grave. Amen. And I think, you know, the prophet of God, our prophet, would roll over in his grave to see the ways that some of us act today and the way that some of us live. When he taught things, amen, that was against God's word, and we go right around and still do it today. God help us. Amen. But John Wesley, he dared to believe in sanctification, and he stepped out on what he believed and believed that hey, not only the just shall live by faith, but there's got to be a sanctified life that goes with it. And more and more, amen, that has, because the scripture says, Jesus said in his word, I will restore, saith the Lord. All that the palmer worm, the canker worm, it was the same worm in just different stages. And eat the tree, plumb down to the root. Amen. But he said, I will restore. And then we sing that little shootout. Amen. John Wesley, or Martin Luther, then John Wesley. And then along came Pentecost. Amen. It's getting more like it. Amen. Oh, you say the shuck age. Amen. The Pentecostal age. Because the prophet of God said it like this. On the message leadership, 1965, he said, what did justification do? It made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself. That's what it's got to be. What did he say on Christ, the mystery of God revealed? What is the Holy Ghost? It's a personal revelation to you. It's got to become personal to you. It can't be you and Brother Doug, you and Brother David. It's got to become personal to you. Amen. Amen. You got to know that you know that you know.
Amen.
You know the shuck, what did he do? Protect the seed. Amen. That shuck, it was pretty good in its age, protecting the seed. And Brother Branham, in his infancy, in his early ministry, you know, it protected. Amen. But then what happened? The shuck, what? It begins to pull away. Amen. And it left that seed. Amen. And Brother Branham, he dared to step out upon God's word. Though doors were being closed. Amen. In many places, what was happening? The shuck was pulling away. Amen. Though it was good in its time. Amen. Aren't it protected that gift? Amen. But then it began to pull away. But the prophet of God didn't go with it. He stood out for what he believed was right and dared to take God at his word. Amen. Now I got some statements, if it'd be all right for me to preach the rest of the night on. If it'd be all right. This is what he says on the message ashamed of him, 1965. He said, those prophets, those daring messengers of God, come without church, without denomination, without organization, without anything, and defied kings, kingdoms, churches, and everything. That's what we got to do. Again, he says, 1953, the pillar of fire. He, Elijah, stood there before all the nations and dared them to defy God and made fun of all them priests and prophets while of Balaam, where they were prophesied, cut themselves and so forth. They used to call a little louder. Maybe he's pursuing. And when the inspiration was on him, he just defied everything that was ungodly. Oh, can you imagine? He just defied everything that was ungodly. Again, he says, 1955, a hidden life. And all those who rejected God and forsaken God in the Old Testament, we can see by example what became of them. Yeah. Those who defied God and rejected him. He said, in the Old Testament, we can see what became of them. Yeah. We read the scripture. They rejected God. They didn't want to take God's counsel. And look what happened to them. Amen. And those who dared to have faith in Jehovah and stepped out in the Old Testament, we see what happened to them. He said, now we make our choice. Now me and you've got to make a choice tonight. Do we dare to take God at his word, or do we reject God's word? You see what happened to those who rejected God's word, but I'd rather step out by faith and take God at his word and just believe what God said, knowing that God, you'll back it up. Amen. I don't have to back it up, but God, you promised.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Again. The message, the countdown, 1962. God, give us astronauts. Give us men and women. And when I say amen, that's not a gender.
Can you believe that man making that statement supposed to be a preacher? My God, what's this world become to? Right. Amen means so be it.
Amen.
What is in the scripture? Over there, you look at it, and I think it's in the lady. He said, I'm the faithful, true and faithful. The amen, the so be it. That's what he was.
Amen.
Amen. There's only two genders, male and female.
Right.
And 31 other ways how to be a pervert. We got to be daring in this age that we're living in. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Can't believe that, you know. Oh, my. Give us astronauts, he said. Amen. Oh, you know what? The Bible says that Enoch was not, for God took him. Amen. See, Russia has cosmonauts. America has astronauts. But God has was nots. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to be like Enoch. We're going to say this bride was not, for she had a testimony that she pleased God. Amen. She dared to take God at his word.
Amen.
She said, give us men and women, daring men, daring women. What did John Glenn and them had to do when they stepped inside that tube? They were pioneers. God wants pioneers to his word, to this word. Astronauts who'll take the things that we have got and be not satisfied with it, but we're going on. Hey man, I don't want to be satisfied. Brother Andy was just coming in, hearing Brother Doug preach a good sermon. Hey man, hearing Micah preach lead a few good songs, or Brother John hearing a few good specials. I want something that'll sustain me. Hey man, so many times we get in a hurry and we want to hurry up and say, Brother Doug, hurry. Brother Micah, hurry. And we fail to wait on God.
Amen.
They that wait on God is the ones that always get the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. See, God wants pioneers to this word. Astronauts who will take the things that we've got and be not satisfied with it, but we're going on. Amen. I don't want to be satisfied. Amen. And coming to hearing, like I said, a good sermon, a fiery sermon. Amen. And maybe a few good songs. But I want something. Amen. Every now and then. And I ain't saying I ain't worried about somebody running the back of the chairs and all this. Hey, I used to see that. Amen. Oh, my. In Pentecost, they'd run the back of the chairs. They'd take their cigarettes out of their pocket and throw them halfway across the building. But they always watch where they landed. So after they was out from under the anointing, they could go back and get them. Amen. But I tell you what, God's not lost his broom. He's not lost his Clorox, and he still does a good cleanup job. Amen. And when he takes the desire away, he takes it away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just got to be daring to take God at his word and say, God, I believe you regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what mama says, what papa says. Hallelujah. Amen. Regardless of what anybody says. Amen. So we're going on. God is making achievements. Now watch. It'll take an astronaut faith to fly you off of this earth to meet Jesus. You don't want to be left a sleeping virgin. Whew. Help us, Lord. Can we go on? Amen. The word of God. Listen to what he says on the message in 1955. What is in thy hand? He said the word of God will run away, defeat Satan, any place, any time, on any condition, if a man or woman will dare to take God at his word. Amen. Any time, any condition, he said it'll defeat Satan. Amen. So I'm saying, boo, devil. Amen. Get back, devil. I'm pressing on. Amen. You need deliverance tonight. Just dare to thank God at his word. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just dare to thank God at his word.
Amen.
Whew. Amen. Whew. Glory to God anyhow. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Amen. Oh, sometimes when it gets like this, I just can't help myself. Amen. I can't contain it. Amen. There's just something bubbling up in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes I think it is like what Brother Brad said. He had a little temporary resurrection. Hey, amen. Walking by a store years ago. Hey, amen. And said a man explodes in pulpit. This was the Inquirer. I said, well, if he's got what I got, I can see why sometimes he wants to explode in the pulpit. Amen. I don't know what they thought about it, but I know what I thought about it. Sometimes it's just something, oh, brother, it just gets all over you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we just dare to take God at his word. Amen. It defeats Satan any time, any place, any condition. Again, he says, 1950, show us the Father. He said, how could you doubt him? Oh, many times. Amen. I heard that prophet. My pastor, Brother Homer, tells me if he's sick in body and he's listening to a tape, you know what he says? When he gets to the prayer line, he begins to listening. Amen. If there's somebody sitting down there or in the audience or somebody in the prayer line, maybe they're suffering from the same thing that he's suffering with. He said, if God did it for them, he can do it for me. Amen. If I just dare to take God at his word. Amen. I think it was said one time where Brother Brown started calling prayer cards. And I forget what number he is, but he called it several times. And the person was listening to the tape. He said, if they don't claim it, I'm fixing to claim it. And he kept calling. He said, I claim that prayer card. Amen. And God came on the scene and touched him. Amen. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll still do the same thing today. It will just take God at his word. Thank you, Lord. I just want to take him at his word. You've been dared. Amen. Hey, we read that song. I read that about that tribesman. You've been dared to follow Christ. You've been fair. Don't on go with me, yet I'll follow. Hallelujah. He said, how could you doubt him? Can you imagine when he'd stagger back? He said, the building looks plumb milky. He said, how can you doubt him now? Amen. Oh, we ain't got the prophet's gift. There's one to an age. Amen. But when God comes on the scene and he begins to do things in the local assembly, amen. Oh, why should we ever doubt him? Amen. If he did it again, one time he could do it again. Amen. If you're here tonight and he filled somebody with the Holy Ghost, can he do it again tonight? If you need it tonight, if you need a refilling, there was one birth. In Acts 2, they were birthed on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 4, they were back up in that same upper room praying and said, God, you see the threatenings. You see the beatings. They said they're going to kill us if we preach any more in your name. And the Bible says the place were shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled. They were birthed in Acts 2, but they were all filled again in Acts 4. And they went out and began to preach the word of God with more boldness than they ever preached it. Whew. He said, how can we doubt him? When men through the age is the only people that's ever amounted to anything is those who dared to take God or take a stand for God. Whew. Amen. Again, faith in action. Most always when you find people that are dare to take God at his word, they're considered neurotics or fanatics. That's right. The real true believer has never had the world to pat him on the back. It's always against him because he takes God at his word. Hey, now today, I tell you what, that's more true today than it's ever been. These statements are more true today than they ever been. See, the prophet of God, my prophet, your prophet, Brother William Marion Branham, was a prophet, and he preached under prophetic anointing. Amen. And many times when he preached this word, can you imagine God of this evil age? My pastor said when he first heard that sermon, God of this evil age, he didn't see what the prophet seen. Amen. But now, you see, this day, that scripture's been fulfilled. Amen. What is it? Let me and you to know that he preached under prophetic utterance, and what he said is now coming to pass. Amen. And I want to dare just to take God at his word to stand out. And when you do, you're considered a fanatic. You're considered no fogey. But I want to take God at his word and live right and do right and talk right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You love him tonight? Amen. Can I read on? Amen. I just like these statements. I believe they're still real today. I don't care when they was preached at. Sure. Right. Amen. What year? Right. Amen. I just still believe they're real. He said, that's right. He said, the real true believer has never had the world. It's always against him because he takes God at his word. Again, 1965, the Easter seal. He said, are you dare to step out? Are you dare to take God at his word? If you're ordained alive, you sure will do it. If you're an eagle, you can't help but doing it. He said, there's something in you. Oh, can you imagine? He said, if you're an eagle, oh, Sister Jennifer, when I heard that eagle scream, amen, there was just something in me. The prophet of God said, when you heard this, amen, you left the other alone. Amen. You was called out of a chicken pen or barnyard. You was called out of the things of the world to walk in this marvelous light. Hey, thank God tonight. Amen. Like I said this morning, you're one out of a million. Amen. But I want to dare to take God at his word and say, God, I believe you. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much they can prove this, that, or the other. I can say, God, you're word is right, it's genuine, and it's anchored in my soul, and ain't a devil in hell can take me away from it. Yes. Said, you can't help it. There's just something in you. Amen. Oh, I'm glad there's something in me tonight that just won't let go. Amen. Oh, there's just something about it. I don't know what it is. There's just something in me. Hey, man, I preached a message here. Hey, man, Brother Brandon said it like this. I forget what message he preached on. Expectations, 1953. He said, everything you need in journeys for this journey of life is in you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, just like that tree, every if it's an orange tree or an apple tree, however many bushels it's going to produce in its lifetime, it's already in there when it's planted in the ground. Amen. And that's just like me and you. It's already in there. Everything that you have need of is in you for this life journey. You need Jehovah Jireh. He's in there tonight. You need Jehovah Rapha. He's there tonight. Amen. Everything you have need of for the rapture, it's laying in you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Again, he said, what we got to do, he said, what that tree does, once it's planted, it starts drinking. And the more it drinks, it starts pushing out. Starts pushing out limbs, branches, roots, everything. Blossoms. The more it drinks. And the more we drink, not of this world, but of the things of the world. God. Amen. I want to drink from the fountain that never runs dry. Amen. When I first moved to Alabama, amen, and I never lived in such a state like that. You said, what do you mean, Brother Dad? I never lived around that was so fanatic on college football. To a person told me, said, you need to pick your team, Alabama or Auburn. I said, LSU. They like to kill me, but that won't get me in a rapture. Amen. I don't care what you think or what you may do or what you like. I remember one time when I was growing up, amen, when I didn't have the Holy Ghost and whatever, I loved the Dallas Cowboys. I could tell you every player when Roger Staubach and them things. I could tell you every player, every play they played, who played and who made a touchdown and everything, but that thing won't get me in a rapture. I can't drink from them things. I got to drink from this Word of God. I got to listen to tapes. I got to get in that Word. I got to pray, and the more I drink, the more I start pushing out whatever I have need of.
Amen.
Hope I didn't step on your toes, but that's just how I feel about it.
All right.
Again, he says, thirst, 19. He said, I dare anybody to take God at his word and see if every word in that Bible isn't the truth. Again, he says, spoken word, original seed, 1962. Everybody that believes in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and so forth. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He said, congregation replies amen. Then he says, I dare you to believe the rest of it.
Yeah.
Amen. I say, Brother Bram, I believe it. Amen. Again, he says, in the indictment, 1963, I dare anybody to come under the blood of Jesus Christ and claim any promise in there, the Bible, God's obligated to take care of it. Amen. Every promise in here is mine. Amen. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm resting on it. Amen. And not only resting on that, but your prophet, when he went beyond the curtain of time and he began to see all these things, and he said, do you know that woman? He said, no. He said, she was about 90 years old when you led her to the Lord. And he said, hey, will Paul have to stand with his group? He said, yeah. He said, well, then we're all right, because I preach what Paul preached. When he preached in the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I preached it. Amen. And they all said, you know what? We're resting on that. Oh, I believe you see me over there, Brother Doug. Amen. And they said, oh, that's what we're resting on. They said, if you hadn't went, we wouldn't be here. I'm glad he went. Amen. Oh, he started, remember when he listened to his mother-in-law? Amen. Lost his wife and his baby. Amen. God, he said, God, he said, he just sheared me clean. Amen. But he said, he got a hold of himself and he dared to take God at his word, went around the world 7 times. I'm so glad he did, and didn't compromise on the things of God, on the things of the word, but preach it gun barrel straight. Amen. So man, you can make it over there in a rapture. Amen. He said, you claim any promise, God's obligated to take care of it. Again, 1953. Amen. God commissioning Moses. It's your business to testify and claim your healing. Say, I'm healed. Right. You sick tonight? Just say, I'm healed. Amen. Hey, I forget what message it's on right now. You give me some time, I can look it up for you. But Brother Homer read it. Oh, I forget, a couple of months back. Brother Bram said, God don't even want you to act like you're sick. Can you imagine? Hey, man, so I want to claim my healing. Amen. Whatever's bothering me tonight, I'm claiming it. God, I'm healed. Amen. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. Amen. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got it. Amen. I need more of it. Amen. Hey, I need a refilling. I need a recharging. Amen. Hallelujah. I need more of your word in my life, Lord. He said, just start testifying. Amen. Just testify and say, I'm healed. And it's God's business to take care of it after you testify and proclaim it. Hallelujah. Hey, it ain't me that's going to have to take care of it. It's God. The prophet just say, start testifying of it. Amen. And it's God. It's under obligation to take care of it. Amen. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I'm just going to start testifying and walking toward that well body tonight. Amen. Walking to it. Amen. Walking. Amen. Eat my way, Brother John, to a body change. I'm glad he tore loose them seals and he called my name. No wonder John began to shout and cry. All heaven heard him. All earth heard him. All that was beneath the earth heard him. Because he knew if no one was worthy to take the book and loose those seals, all would be lost. He said, don't cry, John. We found one worthy. The line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He will open the book. When he turned it, what did he see? A bloody lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He said, proclaim it. He said, that's right. God give you a dare to try it. Now let's just real quick. 4 or 5 statements he made on the believer's to-do list. Whew. He says, as Aaron walked in here, this is on the inner veil, 1956. As Aaron walked in there and that veil dropped behind him, brother, the world knew nothing about it anymore. He was shut off from the world. And a man that ever fully surrenders his heart and life, the man, woman, boy, or girl who dares to take God at his word and say, God, saintly, I come to you and give me the new birth in my heart, Lord. Stand there under the bloody cross and believe it with all your heart. Something will come to your brother that God will shut you away and the world will become dead. And all the things that pertain to the world will be dead. You'll have to hide away. Oh, that's what I want tonight. Amen. Shut off. Amen. To the things of the world. That it all becomes dead to me. That it don't bother me anymore. We have a fellow brother minister that goes to our church. He's about in his late 20s, I guess, 26, 27, somewhere along there. Maybe, if I'm right about it. You know what his job is? He works with stiffs. You know what a stiff is? It's a dead person. He said, now, I don't like to work with stiffs in the church of the living God. Amen. I don't want to be a stiff tonight. But when it comes to the things of the world, I want to become dead to it. You can walk up to a dead man and slap him. It won't bother him. He's dead. Amen. You can talk all about you want about that dead person. He won't talk. He's dead. Amen. That's how dead I want to become to the things of the world, that it won't bother me no more. I want to dare to take God at his word and just to believe what God said. And if he said it, I can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, he says, go tell my disciples, 1953. He said, lo, I have told you. His angels had spread that through the world, that any man that would dare to deny himself and take up his cross and follow him, he will meet you in the resurrection. Take up your cross and follow him. Amen. Now, I don't know about you sisters. I don't know how, you know, Brother Doug feels about, but you know, sometimes you wear a little necklace and it's a cross. You know what that cross actually represented? Death. Can you imagine wearing something around you that represented death? Well, you don't think about it. You know, just something maybe your husband gave you or something, you don't think about it. Could you imagine wearing a guillotine around you? You know, a little chain with a guillotine? You know, or a hatchet or something? But a cross, you don't think nothing of it. But back then, they take up their cross. It meant death. Persecution. Crucifixion. Oh, and he said, any man that would dare to deny himself and take up his cross and follow him, he said he'd meet you at the resurrection. I just want to take up my cross. No matter what does it mean, if it means crucified, amen. Not so much that they're going to kill you physically, but they'll kill you. They'll try to destroy your influence and all them things. Again, he says, you must be born again, 1961. You dare to take God's word and stand there and say it's so. Let this poor little nervous woman here. He said, thinks she's going to die and everything else is wrong with her. Just take his word and step on it one time. He said, once, stand on that word and see what happens. Tell the devil he's a liar. He said, tell the devil he's a liar. Now listen, he goes on to say, he said, you've been in menopause all these years, about 57 years old, and get away from the thing. It's the devil. Take God at his word and say, by his stripes I'm healed. Watch what takes place. So I'm saying tonight, you sitting in this, under the sound of my voice, whatever's bothering you, sister, whatever's bothering you, brother, tell the devil he's a liar tonight. Yeah. Amen. And take up your cross and follow him, and you watch what God will do for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, say by my stripes I'm healed, and watch what takes place. Whew. Again, faith in action, 1955. What we need today is some real, genuine faith put into action. Yes, sir, we need real faith and men who dare to put God's word to their heart and apply it to themselves. Israel and the church, 1953. The message is ready. The power of God is sufficient. Men and women are scared to break out yonder in those fears before God and dare to trust him, take his word. Mm-hmm. So they're scared. Yeah. Amen. What's this COVID done to a lot of people? It scared them. Sure. Amen. But it's time to take God at his word. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, we're going to use common sense. I've been taught all my life since I started school to wash my hands and all that, to sneeze in my sleeve and all that. Amen. Hey, I ain't that dumb. Amen. But I tell you what, we got to use some sensible things, and we got to be kind of sensible and kind of reasonable. But let's take God at his word. Amen. And say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. I don't care what's coming against us. I don't care. God, you said that we could just take you at your word and you'll heal us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, the resurrection of Lazarus. He said, oh, brother, anyone that dare to take God at his word. Amen. God said so. She said it so and went to testifying of it. If God said that he would heal you, if you believe him, take God, take his word and start testifying about it. God's obligated to bring it to pass. Amen. All right. He says, God's obligated to bring it to pass. If God, again, Jesus Christ the same, 1955. If God made a promise, God's got to stand behind his promise. And if he won't do it, then his promise is not so no good.
Right.
Then his words, like mine,
But God will stand behind it if you'll stand behind God. If you'll dare to step out there and take him at his word, he will do it. He will do it. I like that. So if you'll just dare to take God at his word. Three more. Dare to receive the Holy Ghost. We're going to say it like this on God perfecting his church, 1954. He said, there he is, the great mighty conqueror, sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God tonight, in his presence, making intercession on anybody here that will dare to take him by faith. And God will send the Holy Ghost down to seal you into the kingdom of God. Oh, I just want to say, here I am, Lord. Send your Holy Ghost. Seal me into your kingdom. My pastor preached a message, the inspector is coming. Talking about that guy that went around inspecting that box car. And the box car, it could only get sealed after an inspector inspected it. And if there were some things that wasn't packed in there just right, you know what they had to do? They had to unload that box car and pack it right. And then the inspector would come by and seal it up. And dare anyone to break that seal into its final destination. It was against the law, and that's how we are. But the inspector's coming by to inspect our lives. My wife, when she worked in the daycare, her director asked me one time, said, David, you travel and you preach a lot. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you like the Methodist church? I said, ooh, I just said that to myself. I said, where's this question going? I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, see, we have investigators to go by to where whoever's going to preach or whatever they're going to do. I don't know if they call them preachers or whatever, but whatever. They said, we have investigators that go by before the actual guy gets there that's going to help them to see what the church has need of. So we have investigators. I said, yeah, we got investigators. He said, she said, you do? I said, yeah, the Holy Ghost. He's our investigator. Hallelujah. Amen. And I can pray. Brother Doug, don't say, now listen, I want you to hit on this, hit on that, hit on that. This person over here needs it. This young people needs this. This young people needs that. They need that. Brother Darrell, when he was here last, Brother Darrell, hit here, hit here. No, the investigator, the great Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. He can make me change my notes and go in one direction and speak to one person tonight. Amen. Or speak to whoever needs whatever they have need of. Hallelujah. No, me and Brother Doug didn't get together and share notes and said, this is it, this is what, no, the Holy Ghost. He's still the investigator. And I believe he's here tonight, amen, that grants you whatever you have need of, if you'll just take him at his word. Amen. Guinea says, 1959, possessing the enemy's gate. But there were those always who dared to stay there and say, God is right, God's word is true, and you don't have to conquer. Because he conquered. You don't have to conquer because he conquered. The only thing you have to do is just go up and take, stand in the gate and say, it's mine. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the great mighty conqueror. Amen. I don't have to conquer. He's already conquered. Amen. I just got to take him at his word. Amen. I got the and if the conqueror is living in me, if the overcomer is living in me, then I can conquer anything the devil throws against me. Anything that I can't overcome, I got the overcomer living in me, and he'll help me to overcome. There he was, a great mighty conqueror. Amen. Napoleon at 33, he sat down and cried because he didn't have nobody else to conquer. Amen. But he who defied, amen, came down, took on the simple form of flesh, took on the seed of Abraham to be tempted and tested, just like me and you are. Amen. To know what me and you go through, so he could be a faithful high priest. Then on the cross, when he would took our sins, took your sins, took your prostitution, took your weakness, took my weakness, took everything off our lives and brought it into itself and died a sinner. Amen. Right. And took it to hell. And the devil said, I've been waiting on you. I thought when I had got Moses, I got you. I thought this and this. I thought with Noah, amen. But now you're the one. He said, give me them keys, Satan. Grab them keys, kick the door open, grab them keys off of Satan's side, kicked them back in his door, threw the door down, and he went to unlocking some gates.
amen, some prison doors. Hallelujah. And there it came, oh, Abraham. He said, my God, Sarah, that's him. That's the one I seen come walking down the dusty road that day. That's him, Sarah. Amen. That's Elohim. That's the one that drunk milk, ate a cornbread. Amen. Ate some steak with me. That's him. Job said, that's him. Amen. Though the skin worms destroy my body, yet my flesh I'll see God. That's him. I said, I shall see him. My eyes shall behold him and not another one. Amen. That's him. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, David said, that's him. That's the one I prophesied some thousand years before. I'll not leave a soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Amen. That's him. He probably got a little hillbilly on that harp. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I can, oh, amen. Oh, I'm one of them tonight. Amen. I remember one time, Brother Doug, coming home from work, and I was listening to a sermon. I think it was a Patmos Vision. Brother Brown began to sing that song. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And he began to tell that story about that woman in Memphis.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And I was thinking about my son. Hey, man, all of a sudden the glory of God came in that truck. I ain't lying to you. By God, hey, with my hand up, amen, the glory of God came in that truck. You remember the story? Hey, man, she laid out there all night. God grounded the plane, you know, and God told him, keep on walking. Hey, man, going to pass him up, going to pass her up, sitting out there. You know, he said, Aunt Jemima, oh, that'd be hard to say today. Amen, but my prophet said, so I got a right to say it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He said, little Aunt Jemima, shirt tied around her head, aunt was going to go on by. She said, hello, parson. How'd you know I was a parson? Said, I seen you coming. Hallelujah. I seen you coming. Said, how'd you know? Said, I had a dream. I'm like Elijah and the Shunammite woman.
Right.
Brother Bram tried to tell her about his healing ministry. She wasn't interested in that. So all she was interested in, her boy was in that room dying, and he got away from God. He said, the doctor man was in there today. He got mixed up with the wrong crowd, took a social disease, doesn't eat a hole through his heart, and he's in there dying. He said, now, I don't care if the Lord wants to take him, but I don't want to see him die in that condition. Brother Brown said, I've been in king's palaces, but I never felt more at peace or more of God when I walked into that room. Said, I felt his feet that were plumb sticky. I seen that sign, bless this home. Amen. God bless his house or home. Amen. Oh, he said, he knelt down on his knees. He said, what's he saying? He goes, oh, mama, it's dark. It's dark. Said he thinks he's out on a ship, rowing in a boat, and he's lost. Amen. Amen. Brother Brown said, Annie, won't you pray? He said, you know somebody that came and had touched God before. She began to pray, wipe the brow. Said, mama's baby. She said, yes, sir. No matter how much he's been stooped in sin, how far he's got away from God, he was still mama's baby. Amen. After she got through, he said, now, parson, you pray. He said, Lord, I don't know why. I don't know if this is it. I don't know why the plane was grounded, but if this is it. All of a sudden, he heard, mama, there's light in the room. There's light in the room. Amen. Hallelujah. About a year later, he was going back to Memphis, and he heard somebody tap him on the shoulder when he stopped to get off the train to get some sandwiches. Go, Parson Branham. He looked around. There's a big old black guy standing there tall, wearing a red bill cap. He said, do I know you? Was you ever one of my meetings? Said, no, Parson Branham. Said, you was down at my home about a year ago. Said, you're not him. Said, yes, sir, I'm him. Said, I'm not only healed, but I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Why? Because you dare to take God at his word. And because she did that, God grounded the plane. You think he could, if he did that for a little washwoman, little Aunt Jemima, can't he do that for you tonight? If he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, just dare to take God at his word. Amen. Hallelujah. One more. But when Jeep Fellowship, 1960. But when Jesus died, then he was not only man, but he was God and man. Oh, they didn't want to. They took up stones to stone him one time. They wasn't going to stone him for him. Amen. He said, why do you stone me? Amen. You being a man, make yourself God. But he wasn't really a man making himself God. He was God making himself a man.
Right.
Hallelujah. He said, but when he died, he's not only man, but he was God and man. God unveiled in man. And when that cell was broke, God was turned loose again to come back through the shed blood to sanctify and to live in every vessel that would dare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Stand together with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They come to their music.
don't know if y'all know that song or not, but every praise,
yes,
every word of worship is to our God. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes.
Amen. Micah, you help us. You sang it. Amen. Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? Just dare to take God as his word. You've been dared. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise.
Challenge tonight to take God at his word. Just dare to take him and step out on his word. You might have heard this story, but there was a little boy by the name of Willie in Atlanta. He got abducted from his backyard, and the person that caught him put him in the back seat of the car and said, shut up and be quiet and don't say anything, and if you tell anybody about this, said, I'll kill you. Well, little Willie, being 10 years old, that song began to come on his mind. Every praise is to my God. Every word of worship. And he started singing that. And that guy driving it said, be quiet and shut up, or I'm going to do you harm. And the more that guy kept talking, Willie got a little bit louder. He told him to shut up. Willie got a little bit louder. And he began to say, God's my healer. God's my, amen. Then all of a sudden he said, shut up. Be quiet. But he got louder. He said, God's my deliverer. God's my healer. And the car came to a halt. And he said, get out. Get out. Next time the devil is start running you around and he's got you all bound down, just take God at his word. Amen. And say, God's my healer. God's my deliverer. And the devil has come to a screeching halt and say, get out. Get out. Get out. Take God at his word. Amen. Let's sing it again. Amen.
Every praise is to our God.
Oh,
every word of worship.
To start to sing. sang it to them. Amen.
Every praise is to our God.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God.